Thank the Lord to be here this morning. So thankful for the blessings He's given us this week. So we've spent time together with the Lord. You know, that never has failed to be a blessing to me. Now, I've had a lot of times I've come up with reasons not to be here. Well, we got this to do, that to do. But you know what? I feel like the Lord's always answered, blessed, and kind of think maybe somebody else is trying to keep us away. You know what I think? So I thank the Lord to be here, and thank Him for the blessings we received this week. He's been faithful to our souls. Before we get started, I would like to bow my head in prayer here, if you'll join me. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to be here this morning, dear God. We're thankful for the way You blessed our souls, and God, we are thankful that You have fed us. And we're looking this morning again for You to feed us by Your precious Holy Spirit, dear God. You would please anoint Your word and make it what You desire it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to talk this morning about, you know, I broke faith on the board, and you know, I feel like the songs we've just sung are a lot about faith, about just having a confidence in the Lord and trust in Him. And I just want to look at some things the Lord's put on our heart about this. We're going to turn over to a chapter you probably won't be surprised to hear, Hebrews 11. And we want to look in the first verse there. You know, we're going to, with the help of the Lord, I believe the writer of this book was speaking on some things that I believe can be very profitable to us as we leave this point. We've heard several things this week, and now we're going to go back out into the world. And it's not the same as being here, but it's where God's called us to be. So if we look here at the first verse, there were people who no doubt got to spend some time around others who believed in God. Some of them seems like maybe they didn't get that time very often. But whatever the case was, they definitely spent a lot of time in the world, like we're fixing to be, back in the world, so to speak. And there was a secret they found that helped them to be successful. And I want to look at that this morning. I want to leave it with you as the secret that has been tried and true, that there are others before us that have followed this path, and they have found that they were able to make it, that the Lord helped them. And because it tells us that right here, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." So what it just said is that by faith, there are those who've lived long before us, through that whole span of time since the creation of the earth, and they have managed to obtain a good report because of faith. All right? So there's a huge message to me right now as I go back out into the world that if I want to be successful, I want to live by faith. I want to know how to live by faith. I want to understand what it means when that word was thrown out there. Because the word faith can be thrown out there and we can have a lot of understandings about what it means, and maybe we're not really getting it. Because what matters is not that you got the word faith running around with you, but that you have an understanding of what that means and you're implementing that in your life. You know, someone who doesn't know what the word faith means, but they understand the concept behind it and they live by it, well, that's who will find themselves successful. It says, "For by it the elders." And when you think about that and the elders, you know, we think, okay, well, the elders. The late 1800s, there was a great movement that came from faith, that people were walking by faith and things happened. Were these the elders they're talking about? Well, there were no doubt people there who were part of that group. Well, were you talking about maybe in maybe in the 1600s or so when there were some movements or things, coming out. Well, you're talking about those people, and those are the elders you're talking about. Well, no doubt there were people in that time who were the elders. Well, were you talking about there in the early morning church? Were you talking about them? Is that who you're talking about? Is that who she looked to? Well, no doubt there are people there. Well, then, are you talking about the whole span of time between the last prophet and Christ finally coming? Well, there were elders there. And if you're following my point, let's keep going back a little bit. Okay, so were you talking about in the time of the kings, when all was going on in Jerusalem and Judah and Israel and all that was happening? Well, no doubt there were elders there who lived by faith. All right? Well, were you talking about then? We're going back to Abraham. He called the father of the faithful. Is that what we're going back to and talking about elders? Well, okay, yes, there were people then who lived by faith. All right? Well, how far are we going back? Well, it says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Abel. From the beginning of time, this has been the secret to souls learning how to live with God, to follow God, and to be successful with Him. From the very beginning of time, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How? By faith. By faith that he implemented in his life and he lived by. So what is it? What does this mean? All right? Let's break down the word faith just a little bit. I'm going to read a definition to you. Please don't try to write this. There's a point I'm making, okay? So don't try to write this all down. I'll give you what I want you to write down if you're taking notes, okay? Or if you're keeping mental notes in your head, I'll give you what I want you to try to keep there. All right, faith is persuasion, moral conviction, a religious truth or truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy, and such profession. All right, that's your definition, but here's what I want you to get out of that this morning, what I feel like the Lord's given us. All right, the first word, key word that we see in the definition is persuasion. This word persuasion means influence. All right, if you're going to be successful for God, you're going to have to be willing to allow Him to influence your life. We heard a little bit about opening ourselves up to the Lord. Do you know that even as a born-again Christian, you are not naturally open to the Lord and His dealings in your life? You have to make a conscious decision to allow God to influence your life. If you want to be successful with the Lord, one of the first things you have to do is that. Open your heart up and be willing for Him to influence you. Be willing, no more. You know, the young people remember we drove the temple, Moses' temple, up on the board, and there's that laver right before you go in the door, representative of the Word of God. You know, you're going to have to be willing that it's no more what you want to do in life and the way you want to live your life or the impressions you have about life, but that you're going to put all that aside and wash in the water of the Word and say, Lord, Your Word is my influence. Now, You are my influence. You are what's going to direct my life. You can't live. This is the first step. First part of the definition of faith. If you want to live by faith, you're not going to get around this point. You're going to have to be willing to allow God to influence your life. Lord, help us. I don't want to belabor a point, but we've heard a lot in this meeting. Are you allowing it to influence your life? It can be pretty words. It can be great things. There were beautiful words said. There were beautiful messages. But you are going to decide if it matters at all in your life. It does matter, but whether you're going to let it have effect in your life or not. And if you don't sit here and allow it to influence you, if you just say, I'm a born-again Christian and that sounded great, chances are you're going to fail to walk by faith in this next week. Because God sent things you need to hear and you need to let influence your life. And if it's not, then it's not working the way God sent it down here to do. All he did to set this up and set this week up, if you don't leave here and let some of these things influence you, then you are not allowing God to do what he needs to do in your life. And you're going to fall short of walking by faith, of obtaining a good report. So the first thing to do is to allow the Word of God to influence you. All right, the second key word that was in there. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. The second key word is conviction. All right, so you're letting God influence your life. All right, now, you need some conviction about what he's influencing you with. He comes along and you open up to him. That was great. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to let it influence me. Well, that was a nice little feeling there, and it was great to leave that for a moment and have that in my life. Conviction is a step where you see what God's doing, and you develop that conviction. This is truth. This is what needs to be in my life. This is something I need to now hold on to. I opened up to God. Now I need to hold on to what he's brought into my life and influenced me with. I need to learn how to build conviction in my life. You know, I had a particular issue that on the surface, well, I lived saved for a while with this issue in my life, with this certain thing that I do no longer. It was not sin, but it was something that just I had not come to yet in my life. But I was allowing God to influence me. I was willing for God to influence me, and there came a time where he influenced me about this. And he influenced me in a way that I realized I need to do this. You know, the minute I did it, God gave me also conviction about me. You know, that's never changed in my life from that moment. It doesn't matter. And all the times before, I might have thought about doing that thing and just, you know, not really sticking with it. The Lord helped me develop conviction. You need to seek the Lord that when he influences you, that you hold on to those things that he does in your life. That he gives you strength to have conviction, to walk with that thing and to carry it with you. All right? The next word that we heard was reliance. All right? So reliance. So I've allowed the Lord to influence me. I've seen what he's doing, and I've developed a conviction about that thing. God did this in my life. But somebody asks me about that thing, if they get really serious about them, I'll tell them. I'll say, God did this. There's a lot of times it's a particular thing that people like to just play around with some, and they say things I don't always share. I don't have to cuss my pearls in the midst of a situation like that. But when someone wants to really ask, I say, you know, I do this because God did it. You know, yeah, if you walk amongst the people I worship with and all, you'll see a lot of people doing this same thing. But I did it because God told me to. He showed me clearly that I needed to do it, and so I did it. You know, I realized in that moment with that left to myself, I never would have probably done that thing. And this was a smaller thing. This is not something that's as big as a lot of things that the Lord's done in my life, but it illustrates something to me about how much I need God. And this is paramount to our walk with him, that we understand we have to have him. We could be doing some things that look just like everything else everybody's doing, but if it's not from reliance on God, then it's not completely everything it needs to be. It's not faith. And we live by faith. That's how we live. So as we do things with the Lord, it shows us how much we need him in our life, how much we need to rely on him. So that's the third part of faith, is reliance. And the fourth part is, constancy. This is who I am. I'm living this way because God showed me, and that builds a constancy in my life. I'm not up and down. You know, if I'm trying to do things and just, I'm not living my faith, I'm doing it myself, it doesn't build constancy in me. It doesn't build work. You know, who you see me as today is who I'm going to be when you see me 10 years from now. Probably God's going to have done some work on me, so I'll look a little more like Him. But you're going to see the things He's done in my life still there. And God building on those things, not a pile of rubble that God keeps trying to build back, and then it's another pile of rubble, and God's trying to build it back again. This is not what God wants out of our life. If that's what's happening, then take a reset a little bit. If you keep finding piles of rubble where God built something, take a reset. And think about this. Are you really walking by faith? Are you trying to just match up to people who walk by faith? Are you walking by faith this morning? It's okay to be wherever you are in life, whatever situation you are in, wherever you're coming from, it's okay if you're walking by faith. Because then God can build that castle the way it needs to be built, and you won't be finding piles of rubble. There's nothing in us. Oh, Lord, help us. Part of the message today is that's the only way it can happen. This holy life, if you see people living a holy life, this is how it happens. It doesn't happen by trying to match up to what they're doing, trying to thank God for that pure desire, that warmth. That's precious. But it doesn't happen by trying to match up to people you see living holy lives. That can be a message to you. That could be the influence of God in your life. And a lot of times it is. But you can't circumvent this process and have it be successful. You're just going to have piles of rubble over and over in your life again. But God can give you faith. And you can be a castle that influences other people, that reaches out to them with the message of who God is and what He can do. If you live by faith, if you allow God to be your influence, to build the conviction, reliance, and constancy in your life. All right? And living by these, and living this way, this is how the elders gained a good report. And not to get too far ahead, but when Christ came, everyone who was living this way, they were ready. They took hold of this. Now, I'm saying, you say, well, how do you know that? Did you go back and take a survey? No, I don't know that. But this is how people took hold of Christ. It was the only way, and it's why some people missed it, who were sitting there matching up to everything they saw and everything they could figure out, but not living by faith, not living by a reliance on God, by God's influence in their life, not building conviction based on what God was doing around them. All right? This is how people missed it, even though they had all the prophecies and everything right in front of them. All right? It says in Hebrews 11, and 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And I don't even want to read, I mean, there's so much good here, but I'm trying to stay focused on what the Lord has. So we're just going to read that part of that verse. Without faith, without this, persuasion, conviction, reliance, constancy, it's impossible. You know, that impossible is, I want to point out a few things about that word impossible. It's impossible, you're not going to be successful. But have you ever been given a task and tried to do it and you just felt like it's impossible? That's what living for Christ, trying to live up to what you believe that means, without this, that's a weight, that's a burden. God didn't come to give you a burden. He came to give you rest. And deliver your soul. All right? He did not come to weigh you down. I've heard people say, well, it's just such a weight. Lord, help us. Anything but this is a weight. Absolutely. I can't argue with you. It's a weight. Religion is just a weight in your life, unless you're living by faith. then you see the blessings that it is, that God is to us. All right? So do a faith checkup this morning. All right? Habakkuk 2 and 4. Second chapter of Habakkuk and the fourth verse. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. I don't know about you, but I have read this verse before and puzzled at it a little bit. Lord, do you ever do that? I read the Proverbs sometimes, and honestly, I'm like, how do these two things go together? You know what the Lord's... Lord's just keeping me humble. Brandon, you don't know everything yet. You're going to have to wait a little bit, and I'll show you what that means. I'll put them together, because the Word of God fits together perfectly. But I've looked at this verse and said, okay, I don't really get it, Lord. It seems like two disconnected verses to me. But it's not. It's so connected. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I have a lot of descriptions going through my mind, but I don't think I share any of those. But it's just like a substance that's within a substance, and they're just bound together so tightly that you cannot separate them. All right? That's what this verse is. And I'm making a point, because if we leave this and we don't get a hold of that, then we're going to have a struggle walking by faith, okay? Faith is the opposite of me. And I want to say it so careful, so I'm trying to make sure I get the right words. Faith is the opposite of my success. Listen to what I said, and let me explain it to you so you don't leave here thinking I said one thing when I'm really saying another. Faith is the opposite of my success. Faith is the opposite of me looking at something, doing it with my hands, and being successful and being, this is what this is supposed to be. Faith is understanding that on my own and who I am, I will never be successful. Faith is understanding that there has to be someone else. That I don't need someone to just walk beside me. I don't need someone to kind of follow along and keep an eye on me. I need someone to pick me up and carry me through much of life. I need someone who is holding my hand and pulling me along and directing me, not just for part of the time, not just when I can't figure it out, but faith is knowing that in every step I take day by day with each passing moment, that I need someone leading me, not walking with me, not following along, but leading me, carrying me. Lord, there's an old song that says, I cannot find the way alone. Not for one moment. Not for one second. Lord, don't leave me. Don't even step to the side of me. Don't stop taking my hand and carrying me through life. Because if you were to stop that for one second, there's no telling what I would fall into. That's where the piles of rubble come from. And those moments where the Lord say, no, just stay right here. Let me carry you. Like, I think I got this. And all of a sudden, some walls are falling. You know, it's okay to wait on the Lord. In fact, what did Peter say? He said, where are we going to go? That's faith. Well, the Lord didn't come, so I'm going to go ahead and make an offering. That's what Saul did. That's not faith. That doesn't breed success. And it never will. No matter, you look at Saul and say, well, Saul had some things going on. You try that same path. No matter how good your intentions, you're going to end up in the same place. Faith is knowing there's not an ounce of me that can manage this without God. Every moment and every second of the day, I must have him. I wait because there's a song that says, I won't make a move unless you move me. I won't make a move, Lord. If you, for some reason, aren't moving, guess what I'm doing? I'm standing still. I'm waiting. Because, Lord, I'm not going anywhere unless you move me, unless you're the one taking me there. That's faith, and that's where this verse, that's what it's talking about. The soul of him that's lifted up to think in any way that somehow he can manage this thing even for a moment on his own is not right within him. It's not upright within him. It's not right. It's not faith. The just, the ones who would be upright, the ones who would be successful, live by faith. Live by influence, conviction, reliance, constancy before the Lord in their life. You know, Philippians 3. Let's turn over there. Philippians 3, we have a man who walked both sides of this aisle. He walked both sides of Habakkuk 2 and 4. He never would have said when his name was Saul that he was walking the first part of Habakkuk 2 and 4. He wouldn't have believed it. He would have said, I'm living by faith. But he wasn't. His soul was lifted up in him. And he was not living by faith. But there was something in him that was listening. And when God pricked his heart, finally, God had to go a long way. We know that that wasn't the first time he dealt with Saul. Because he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. God dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him. And still, he went on his own way. Saying, no, Lord, I got this. No, Lord, I know where to step here. No, Lord, I know what to do here. I know what the Word says. He says he knew the Word. I'm just going to say the Bible shows us that Saul was very learned in the scrolls. I know what this means. Looking right at a verse, do you realize how many times we look right at a verse and we say, I know what this means, and we're wrong? We don't. That's not faith. When we look at the Word of God, we have to look at it knowing that we must have God to help us understand what is right before our eyes. Do we think we're different than Saul? Are we really different? Are we that much better than him and who he was? That we can look back at the Word now and know what it means just because we see it and we know that's what that means. Lord said, that's not the way you do it. I will write it on your heart. That means, no, you can't do it that way. You're going to have to wait on the Lord. You're going to have to let him explain to you. You're going to have to let him influence you and not live by what you can read and see necessarily, though you don't misunderstand me. Put that Word in your life. Put it in there over and over and over, and then give God the chance to influence you. And he'll use that Word to influence you in life and to show you how he wants you to be and build those convictions, teach you reliance, and help you to be constant in your walk with him. All right? But Saul viewed what he was doing before. He thought he was walking by faith. But he learned something. All right? It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Did he just suddenly change denominations? Is that what he's telling us? He realized the way he was living was not the way that was going to get him there. Was not what's going to put him in that section in Hebrews, that chapter 11. It wouldn't have put his name there. Those were things that were interfering with God. Do you see that this morning? How that what Saul was doing, looking at the Word, believing he understood it in his own self, was actually interfering with what God was trying to do in his life. It wasn't until he stopped and let God start to influence him and listen that he began to have things that were profitable to him. That's why he counted them for loss, because that's what they were. It was either hold on to them and interfere with what God's doing in your life or let go of them and count them as loss. Why? Those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, it's His word and all. I'm no longer am I following the Scriptures. Stay with me, please. But I'm following the one who wrote the Scriptures now. And let me just address the fear. We're like, but we have to follow. Yes, you have to follow the Scriptures. The only way to do it successfully is to follow the one who wrote them. And He will not do something in your life that's contrary to His Scriptures. I know that's out there. The devil's taken that substitution as well. Well, you don't follow the Scriptures. You follow the Lord. And here's what you do. Things contrary to the Word of God. Well, you're not following the Lord. Because if you're following Christ, He wrote this. He is the Word of God. And if you truly follow Him, it will match up with this. And it's why if you're going to be able to let the Lord influence you, you've got to read the Word of God. Because you're not going to recognize when He's talking to you or when He's not. You're going to be swept along by any wind of doctrine. Because you have no basis to understand, no compass, nothing to say, oh yes, that is the Lord. Look, that is in His Word. And I'm beginning to see what He's trying to teach me here. Lord, help us. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. My own righteousness, which is of the law. All right? Left to my own understanding. Left to just whatever I think it means. To take it and make it what I think is supposed to be in my life. That's just me. That's just my own righteousness. It says, but that which is through the faith, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. People, don't be afraid. Saints of God, don't be afraid. Follow the Lord. He's alive. If you're faithful and you're reading and praying, and in that time you say, Lord, show me what this means. The Lord will show you. He will not let you be led astray. And it says in Philippians 2, I don't have this verse, it says, let everyone be perfect. If anybody be otherwise minded, the Lord shall reveal even this to him. So even when somehow in that situation where you set your heart to follow the Lord by faith, somehow you get off a little bit. You know what it says? It says the Lord will show that to you. And if you're living by faith, then He can influence you. But if you're taking off and just doing your own thing, what can the Lord do? But if you're waiting on Him and truly trying to say, Lord, teach me, help me to understand. Lord, what are you saying? You're basically saying one of the most basic elements of faith. Lord, you're real. The only way God couldn't help you is if He wasn't real. If He wasn't God. If He's God, He can do anything, right? If He's God and He's alive, then He's able to see you and see your, He really does see your prayer, right? Oh, how many times do we come down and we pray things, and then let's be honest, maybe you have never done this, but I'm like, now I got to make it happen. Now I got to go figure out how to make it happen. I prayed to the Lord and everything, now I got to go figure out what happened. I'm basically saying, why am I having to do it? Because, Lord help me, I don't even want to say it, but by my actions, I'm saying, I don't really believe God is real. I don't really believe He's supreme. Some element of that is missing. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have to get up and go make it happen. I could depend on the Lord to continue to lead me and guide me in my life and show me. And you know what? He can. He is alive. He is real. He does have a Holy Spirit that can get in our hearts and lead us and guide us, influence us and direct us and help us to be a mansion that doesn't crumble in life. Yeah, it's got to be fixed up every once in a while. Every once in a while, a wall gets knocked a corner in or something. The Lord says, you know, this ain't going to work. We got to fix this. Okay. Well, Lord, I'm living by faith. I hear you. And this is what you're telling me. You're showing me there's some influence in my life. Not like Saul. He's like, no, we're just going to keep going ahead just like this. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Saul, you need to be living by faith. What do you mean, Lord? I'm not living by faith. No, because I'm trying to tell you something and you're just pushing on with what, with the doctrine you've always believed in, or the message that, that what you've seen. I don't even say it that way too much. Let me take that back. But you're just pushing on with what you see. That's why I want to say that. You're just pushing on with what you see instead of stopping and listening to the pricks and saying, well, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He finally did that, right? He said, well, Lord, who are you? Well, Saul, I just wish that God would have taken a moment and said, well, before I tell you, why didn't you listen to me before? Why did I have to do this, Saul? Why are we at this point and everybody's knocked on the ground and you're blinded and everything? Why didn't you just listen to me before? You know, those are the same pricks that God's using today on our hearts and in our lives to try to speak to us, to try to influence us. As people, sometimes we want something we can hold on to, though, and we're afraid to listen to those pricks somehow. But if we can just trust the Lord and just rest in Him, the fact that He is omniscient, He is everywhere, He's all over the place, and He loves me, and He's going to find a way to help me understand what He's trying to show me in this Word, and then I can do what He's showing me with conviction and with reliance and with constancy. All right? It says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. People, I don't want to die with a book in my hand, no matter how good it is. And that's all I have. I want to die with Christ. I want to die and be transported into His glory. I want to be like the thief on the cross, and I want the Lord to say, come, enter in, my good and faithful servant. This day you'll be with me in paradise. This day, that's what I'm living for. I don't, you know, if I can memorize this whole, and I don't want to memorize this whole thing, but to die with a book in my hands, and that's all I've got. It's worth it to me. It's worth it to me take a shot at what God's telling me, that I have to live by faith. It's worth it to know this Savior and to know Christ and to know as I die that I'm just finally going to see the one who's made all the changes in my life, who's been the one that directed my life. Lord, help us. All right? So Romans 10. Let's turn over there. Romans 10 and 1. And as we read about Israel here, we want to understand, I believe if you study this scripture and you look at it, you'll see that this is true, that he's speaking specifically about Israel that struggled. What did it say? It said, we preach Christ, and I can't quite get that verse, to the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Gentiles, foolishness. He's speaking to the section of Israel that the whole thing about Christ was a stumbling block because they had not been living by faith. They'd been living like Saul had. And so when Christ came, they weren't able to make the transition to Christ because that's not what they had been doing. They hadn't been living by faith. They hadn't been honoring God. They'd been honoring His doctrine. But even that falls short. The Lord has all this set up so we come into a relationship with Him, the temple. We drew it up on the board and we talked about the fact as you come in the door, there's God's got one purpose. There's one door in, there's a door, there's a veil with the entry. And God sits in the holiest of holies. And everything along the way represents Christ. And all of it put there to bring us to this place where God sits. Everything He's done is to bring us into communion with Him, for His presence to be in our life. There's nothing short of that that God says, yeah, that's all I wanted for you. Those things are to bring us into the presence of God, for Him to dwell in us by His Holy Spirit, for us to have His presence with us every second of the day. Because what did we say? Not 50%, not 75%, not even 99.9%. 100% we need Him every moment of every day to lead us and guide us and direct us and be there to check us, be there to do whatever is needed to be done in our life, to help us to know how to follow this way. All right? So He was speaking to a group here that weren't living that way. They weren't living by faith. They were living by something so close to where God wanted them to be, but yet it wasn't actually honoring God. It was still left in their own understanding. All right? It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." They're right there. There's that one step to take that can only be taken by faith. And even being right there falls short of being saved. Honestly, in the end, that's what it just said there. That one short step short of counting all things but loss, that I might know Christ. This is why I'm here today. I told him, you know, we talk about one thing. God didn't save you to just forgive you for your sins. He didn't save you just to wash you clean. He saved you so that He could be with you permanently, together, 100% of the time, all the time. That's what He saved you for. That's His mission in your life. Lord, help us. "They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness." We see the law. We see that it's good, so we're going to live it out the way we understand. "They going about to establish their own righteousness." What's the problem with that? Everything about that sounds so good. You found a good book and you're doing all you know to live by it. "Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." It's that last step. "The just shall live by faith. The soul of him is lifted up in him is not upright." There's one last, there's a humility waiting. There's a humbleness. There's a final breaking point of saying, "Lord, I'm less than nothing before you. But by your grace, I can be all that you want me to be. But only by your grace, Lord. Not by your grace in my life and me figuring it out. But Lord, by your grace." What does grace mean? Without fail, except for one verse, I've said this before, in James, throughout the whole New Testament, the word grace, it comes from a word that means the influence of God shining into a life and its reflection being seen out. That's what grace is. All right? So when we say by God's grace, if we're really meaning it, the concept of what that means is this right here. God, only by your influence into my life and me allowing that to happen, allowing it, looking at those things and keeping the things, treasuring and guarding the things that you come along and influence me with and holding on to them. And by holding on to going, "God, I need you to keep doing this. If I'm going to make it, you got to keep doing this." Then I'm building constancy then, by relying on Christ for this process in my life. Okay? "But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth." You know, it finally all came to fruition. You know, they had the law and they live by it, but you know, even then, there were those who were living by it, but they weren't living by it in faith of God. And there were those who were living by it in faith of God. Do you know when Christ came, if you look back, the ones who were living by faith were ready. That's today. For Christ to come in our life, for us to be ready for Him, we're going to have to be living by faith, okay, in Him. All right? Let's look over into Galatians 2. Final verses here. Galatians 2, the 11th verse. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, Peter, you know, you took hold of Christ by faith, and now all of a sudden you're trying to impress on people that you're just supposed to match up to what you see in front of you, that you're just supposed to match up. Peter, you're not putting the pure image out there of what it really means. You're disturbing that image, Peter. Why are you compelling them to take this on? To take on this spot where you look and see what people who are holy and righteous are doing, and that's what you have to do. Now, there's more to this than this, but this is the point from this that feel like the Lord wants us to get this morning. I'm responsible for living by faith in Christ. What has happened in my life, and I think a lot of people could testify to that, if several of us stood up and stood together, you would see a lot of similarities. And that's what the family of God will look like as God works with us, because He works with us all to demonstrate His righteousness. But God looks at the heart. That's where it's got to come from. And if any of us are standing up in that group and it's just an impression, well, everybody else did this, so I'm going to do this too. Everybody else, you know what? There's something missing. It's got to be by faith for it to mean something, for the joy to be there, for the blessing, for the strength to be there, for the Spirit of God to be moving and working in a life. It has to be done by faith. You can't put it on the outside. So if you're someone who's new in Christ, don't fall for that trap. Let the Lord influence you. Let Him bring you along. Let Him build those things in your life. And you know what? One day you'll be standing there with others, and not only will you look like them, so to speak, but you'll have the strength. You'll have the joy. You'll have the power in your life that you need to face this world, to be victorious. You will be a mansion too, in and of yourself, not of yourself. But you yourself will be because of what God has done in your life, because you've lived by faith. All right, don't try to jump the process. Don't hang back. You've got to let God, part of influencing Him is means you got to move. You can't just hang back and say, well, I'm living by faith. Okay, well, if you're living by faith, you're going to be moving because God's influencing you. But you're going to move at God's pace and what He sees needs to happen in your life. All right, so it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Just matching up to what you think it means is not going to get it. You're going to have to let the Lord influence you and grow you and build His righteousness in your life, okay? For it says in the 19th verse, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, a whole new meaning to this morning. Why am I crucified? Because anything in of myself is just a distraction and an interference with what God is trying to do. I'm not just crucified because I'm trying to stay away from the world. That's going to keep me from the world. But I'm crucified that I might be with Christ. That's why I'm laying down my life. That's why I'm saying no. That's why there's things in the world that call to me. And I'm like, I don't want that on me. I don't want anything of that. It's why I'm brushing those things off. It's why I'm allowing the Lord to take those things away from me. Not because I'm just trying not to be like the world. That's not what it's about. Thank God that's a byproduct of it, because there's a lot of blessings in that. But that's not what it's about. What I'm doing, I'm doing. I'm crucified with Christ, that I might live with Him. It says, "For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God." The word frustrate means to neutralize, disesteem, or even violate. Lord, help us. You know that when I try to take it on myself to fulfill the law of God, that I actually neutralize? That doesn't sound good. When you neutralize a force, what do? You basically make it of no effect in your life. You know, if you got a big armies out here and there's a force coming and somehow they manage to neutralize that force, that normally means that force has no more power to do anything. Is that what we want to do with the grace of God in our life? No. I don't want any part of that. No. Disesteem it. Not value it. Treat it as not really worth what it's worth. I don't want to do that to the grace of God. I want to value it. Or even violate it. Actually go against it. Actually go against what it's trying to do in my life by simply trying to fulfill the righteousness in and of myself. So I can say, look at me. I'm holy. Look at me. I'm successful. Look at me. I'm a Christian. We want to be able to, we want that all that message to get out. But not me. And I did it. If that's the way I approach it, then I'm actually frustrating the grace of God. Lord, help me. Lord, you. I need you in my life. I need to die. Like you said, not just to be separate from the world, but so that you can be all that you're trying to be in my life. That's why I'm dying to the world. That's why I'm counting all these things at loss. Because I want you to be all you can be. Because this is how I'm going to be successful. This is how I'm going to obtain a good report. This is how it happens in our life. Is living by faith. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know, all of it pointed to the time that Christ would come, and it would be His sacrifice that cleansed us from our sins. It would be His sacrifice that opened the door to the Holy Spirit to work in our life, for the power of God to fulfill His righteousness in our life. It still doesn't happen by me just taking up something and trying to live to it in and of myself. It happens by waiting before the Lord, allowing Him to influence my life. When He does influence me, I build conviction about what He's brought there. The Lord did that. The Lord showed me that. That was the Lord's influence, and I'm holding on to it. I may not understand. You know, we do something, then we think we understand a whole bunch of things around it. No, not necessarily. But I know this. I know that God wanted me to do this. And you know what? Sometimes I can't even explain to you all the reasons why, except that I know the Lord showed me to do this. And so I did it. Conviction. That builds reliance. Lord, this is the way it happens. God, please, I've got to have you keep on doing this. And in the end, that's what creates constancy. This is living by faith. This is how the elders obtain a good report. And this is how we're going to be successful and make it home. You pray for me.